Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Joe from Montana.
Hey, Joe from Montana. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. So when I saw the title, I wondered to myself, is this going to be another piece of advice, or is it actually going to be solutions that people can actually implement? My question to you is, if you have, let's say, 50 people in front of you, 50 couples who have problems, can you solve all 50 of those problems so that all 50 of them will have the perfect marriage or the perfect relationship?
Thanks, Joe. That's a great question. And the answer is, if I had a room filled with 50 couples, could I help them all to have a happy marriage and live happily forever after? No. But I could talk to them. And what would I talk about? I would most likely talk about what love is not. We think we know what love is. We think it's bringing flowers and candy and lovey-dovey. And we think it's being supportive and being nice and making people feel good. That's what we think. And we think love is getting our needs met. But love really is something entirely different. And in this program, I'm going to talk about what love is, and not so much about what love isn't. But for sure, what love isn't is what most people think it is. And real love, you might not even recognize it. Real love sometimes is the truth, the plain and simple truth. And it doesn't seem supportive, and it seems cold and hard and mean. And we don't like it because our egos don't like the truth. And the kind of love that our egos like is a supportive love, a love that supports everything that's wrong with us. And that excites us. When somebody loves us like that, it excites us and spurs us on to be ambitious and to be willful. And who is it that will tell us the truth? Well, Christ told people the truth, didn't he? But he told people the truth so clearly and so boldly that it penetrated, and they saw in front of them a person who had love and wasn't doing it out of self-interest and wasn't afraid of speaking the truth and wasn't afraid to rock the boat. And they saw that kind of love, and it affected them profoundly. And some of them came over to the truth side. And the truth side is where true love is. So we're going to be talking about that today.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is a new confidence. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today, I want to talk about life and about love and what it really means. Perhaps you've noticed that we all know that love is the answer. We know that, don't we? And we also know that we need love. We know that we need love, and we know that other people need love. But what are some of the other things that we know? We know, for example, that when people give us love, sometimes it backfires. Sometimes their love doesn't do us any good. It makes us worse. It somehow weakens us or disables us. And when we give other people love, sometimes they reject our love. Or we give them love and we love them, but it doesn't seem to help them. And early in life, when I say early in life, I mean when we're, you know, in our late teens and 20s and 30s, but sometimes it continues beyond that, but hopefully we wake up and see that it's not working out. But early in life, we sometimes think that our love is magic somehow, that our love will cure someone or solve their problems or make them okay. A lot of women marry a man and they see that he has faults, but she thinks, well, I'll be able to make him good with my love. And she gives him love, but instead of getting better, he gets worse. He becomes more spoiled, more egotistical. He becomes more ambitious. See, her love seems like it makes him, if he is motivated by her love, then he goes out into the world to accomplish great things and come back for her support. Well, he goes out into the world to accomplish great things, and before you know it, his work is more important to him than you are. And he may get so high and mighty, the love that you give him builds his ego up so much that eventually he thinks he needs a better woman and he goes out looking for another woman. You see what I mean? Or your love makes him more spoiled, more selfish, more beastly, lazier. See, he doesn't get any better. And when your love isn't strong enough, then he looks for another woman. And she makes him even worse, or he looks to drugs or alcohol to comfort him, and they make him worse. So how is it that love, we know that love is important, we know that it should be a good thing, but yet somehow our love seems to make people worse, and their love for us doesn't make us any better. How is that possible? Well, the reason is that it is not a pure love. It's not a pure love. It's a distorted kind of a love.
Hi, you're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio.
We know that love is important. We know that it should be a good thing, but yet somehow our love seems to make people worse, and their love for us doesn't make us any better. How is that possible? Well, the reason is that it is not a pure love. Who has pure love? God has pure love, and everything that he does has love in it, and everything that he makes has love in it. And everything that he makes has some kind of a love, doesn't it? Especially when it comes to plants and animals and people. Because all of these, we could give them all a bunch of names. All of them are a kind of a love. But before I get into that, I'll say something that will help make it clear for you. We humans, about the only love that we can have is a yearning for our Creator. That's the only true love that we can have. It's a love, is a yearning for our Creator, a yearning for something good and pure and sweet and noble. And we yearn for that. What we're really yearning for is for the Father we've never known. But that pure yearning is about the only love that we can know for our Creator. And that pure yearning then becomes seeking, searching, wondering, asking, see, all to find that which we are looking for. We're looking for our Creator. So this pure yearning is about the only love that we can have for our Creator. Now, how about for other people? Well, about the only love that we can have for other people is twofold. Let me just tell you what the perfect love that we can have for other people is. It is God's love in us. It is His love coming through us. And that love coming through us is felt by other people as patience and calmness. It's a disinterested love when you get your ego out of the way. See? But once again, there's a yearning, isn't there? let us say that, and I keep coming back to this over and over again because, number one, it's simple and it's clear and it's important. And number two, if I keep repeating it over and over again, maybe one day you will actually get it. So here it is. You're having a moment with one of your loved ones, your wife or your children or your husband or your partner. It's one of those moments where an issue has arisen, and what you say will make all the difference in the world. And you stand there, the issue is presented, and you don't know what to say. But you want to say the right thing. You want to do the right thing, but you don't know what the right thing is. And knowing that you don't know, you yearn to do the right thing. And you, figuratively or literally or both, you lift up your eyes and your soul cries out to God, because you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, but deep in your heart, you want to do the right thing, and you don't know what it is. That pure searching for what is right, to do what is right, because you want to do what's right, that is answered by God. And you will know in that moment what to do or what to say. You'll just say something, it'll trip off your tongue. Without pre-planning, without having, run it through your intellect, without having looked down into your memory to come up with something clever or something smart or something to impress them or something to motivate them or something to win them over. You just yearn for what's right and it trips off your tongue. And it's pure and it's direct and it's spontaneous. And it's simple, and it's the right thing. And if nothing comes to you, then nothing is what you're supposed to do, or nothing is what you're supposed to say. You see how simple it is.
If you are like most people, you get upset too easily. Once you get upset, it is hard to be patient and calm. You say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing while under the influence of emotion. We know that we are supposed to be patient and forgiving. We want to do what Christ told us to do, but it's hard when we are upset or angry. You want to stop being upset, and you want better relationships with your family. You want to make a fresh start, but you don't know how. Here at Shedding Shackles, we teach the how of getting started. Roland says that if you are sincere, he can show you how to get control of your emotions in just a few minutes. Would you like to find out more? Just visit sheddingshackles.com and look for the sitting quietly exercise. You'll be glad you did.
The problem is that if you're like 99.9% of people, your ego has always gotten in the way. You want to impress people, and so, or you look to thinking. See, you've always been taught, you've been mistaught. You've been taught to look to knowledge, various forms of knowledge, the knowledge stored in your brain, in your memory, things you've read, things you've memorized, things you've heard, things a professor said, things some expert said, something somebody on television said, something you read on the internet. See, you look to that, and you have that's where your faith is, that's where your trust is, and you use that, and so you can puff up, see, pridefully. If you say something that impresses someone, then you can puff up with pride about it, see. Or, on the other hand, since you're faithless, you instead of looking in pure faith to your Creator, you look to somebody else, or you look to your own, to thinking for answers, And some answer comes, but it's not pure, it's not good, it's not perfect. See, the perfect love of God answers your perfect need, and your perfect need, then you, in your perfect need, you receive a perfect answer. But as long as you look to your thinking or to someone else. You see, the other thing is your ego always gets in the way. If you don't want to impress somebody, then you're afraid of making a mistake. You're afraid of rocking the boat. You're always looking to see what advantage you can get out of it, or trying to avoid a disadvantage, or trying to please them, or trying to not get their disapproval. You see, or trying to avoid responsibility. See, when you're faithless, see, then you don't have any confidence in yourself. And then you might think, well, whatever I do, I'll just mess it up. So you look for some way to avoid responsibility. And then you just say what somebody else said, and that way you can always claim, well, it wasn't my idea, it was their idea. You see what I mean? There's always something impure in it, something prideful, something selfish, and it ruins it. But let's suppose for just a moment, getting back to our scenario, there's a moment where what you say or do makes all the difference in the world, a moment with your loved one. And you don't know what to say, and you don't know what to do, and you lift up your eyes, and you wordlessly, your soul cries out, and nothing comes to you. Well, then nothing is what you're supposed to do. But the other person there, they see, people are very sensitive. They can see whether you're a phony. They can see whether you're just dredging up some answer that you've heard before. See, and your kids, being very sensitive, they can sense that there's no love there when you do that. Somehow there's some kind of pride there. But when they see you standing there and you don't know what to say, and they see you honestly searching, and you don't know what to say, and you don't say anything, they can see that that's real. They see that you really do love, have a love, some kind of love for them, because you don't want to say the wrong thing, and you don't want to manipulate them or use them or build yourself up. You just want to do the right thing, and you don't know what it is. It's beautiful.
Do you have the discipline to like what you have? A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. The author Thornton W. Burgess once said that the best thing in life is contentment. When you stay with the same position or the same job, it shows that your opinions and priorities do not easily change. Being content with what you have helps shield you from the disadvantages of other things. Some disadvantages of which you may not know. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
All right. Well, I think I've made my point. So what was I talking about? Oh, yes. So pure love is from God. If you get your ego out of the way, then you have patience, see? And if you have patience, see, if you have faith, then you will have patience. And you will have also the patience to wait. Yesterday I was writing, and I've had a question about human behavior. I've had a question now, something that I sort of knew what the answer, I knew what the answer is, but I couldn't see it. I heard it, but I didn't really see it. And I've been looking for that answer now for over 30 years. And I almost would see it, but I never quite saw it. Yesterday, for the first time, as I was writing, in other words, as I was at the computer typing on the keyboard, as I was writing, I saw the answer. It suddenly, there it was, and I typed it out a little bit, not perfectly, but I sort of typed it out. But I've been waiting now for over 30 years for that. See, that's a kind of a faith, isn't it? To know that nobody's going to have the answer for me. The only way I'll ever know is if God somehow lets me to know quietly and wordlessly one day. I just see the answer. And so I wait for that answer. You see what I mean?
In these challenging times in which we live, Roland has decided to make the complete four-part meditation exercise available for free to those who cannot afford a donation. The meditation exercise is a tool for dealing with stress and remaining centered. To listen to the complete four-part meditation exercise, simply go to sheddingshackles.com and click on Meditation.
Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, a spiritual and practical look at relationships? My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener. So be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Roland says that since his program is only on the radio once or twice a week, you really should check out the podcast so you can listen again. Thanks and blessings.
Emotions can disrupt your Christian walk. We all like to experience good emotions, such as joy and hope. But unwanted emotions, such as fear and anger, can prevent you from thinking clearly, and even worse, can interfere with doing God's will. Once again, here's Roland Trujillo.
The only way I'll ever know is if God somehow lets me to know quietly and wordlessly one day. I just see the answer, and so I wait for that answer. You see what I mean? So egos are always rushing in, rolling up their sleeves and rushing in to solve problems. And they make everything worse because they don't have love. In order to have love, you have to get your ego out of the way. Christ had perfect love because through him came love from the Father. Love from the Father. And the love from the Father provided for his need. And his need was in the moment to do the right thing or say the right thing. So I could also say that talk about a perfect need or a good need. So when you're there with your loved one and an issue, an important issue has arisen, you have a need for an answer, don't you? If you can just have that need and not faithlessly reach down into your brain to come up with something to get it over with, or faithlessly look to somebody else to answer it. See, or try to say something to fool them and make them think you know what you're talking about when you really don't, or to pretend you have love when you really don't. If you can just abide with that perfect need for a true and good answer, then that is the perfect need that God will answer. You understand? So I have talked a lot. I've kind of gone into some detail here, but I think it's important. I want you to see that about the only true love you can have is a yearning for your Creator. Not everyone has it, but some of us do. And then if you abide with that, if you go with that and you look to your Creator, and more you look to him for answers. And more you see that there are no answers out in the world and there's no love in the world. And the other thing is you're always looking for love from other people. See, that's the other problem. Now, you can help it early in life, you know, when you're just a kid and a teenager or something. Of course, you look out there for love. All right. Maybe you had good parents and they had a little bit of what I've been talking about. A little bit. Maybe your father was a good father. He had a little bit of that. A lot of us had fathers and he was kind of a decent guy, but he made some mistakes and he was angry. See, your mom gave him a hard time. Everywhere he went, there was injustice. And so he was angry. So he got all bottled up. But you knew there was something good in him, but it was buried under layers and layers and layers of something. But some of us, but there were moments, didn't he? Most of you had, even if your dad in the eyes of the world wasn't so great, or even if he seemed to be great in the eyes of the world, but you knew he really, but it was all phony, but your dad had moments. See, there may have been a moment, maybe only one moment, or maybe two or three or four, where there was something good in him, and it came forth, and it was calm, and it was patient, and it was something very deep, and you cherish that moment. You cherish it. You wish there could have been more, and if your dad made a lot of mistakes and went off and disappeared and married somebody else or something, or if your dad passed away, you cherish those few moments that you had. But I want you to know that your real father, yes, you had an earthly father, but your real father is in heaven. Your heavenly father is the father you've never known. You have to find him. So forgive your earthly father for whatever mistakes he made and search and yearn for something good, and God will answer that. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.